We come again to you with studies in the Gospel through John, and we're in chapter 10. We're starting chapter 10. In our last lesson, we spoke a little bit about the connection between chapter 5, 6, 7, and 8, and then chapter 9, and now chapter 10, where we have the Lord Jesus revealed as the shepherd of his people. You remember, in the Old Testament, our Lord was revealed as the shepherd of his people. We mentioned that. The 22nd, 23rd, 24th Psalm, Isaiah 40, Ezekiel 34, and so many other passages. In chapter 8, the Lord is cast out. In chapter 9, one of his sheep is cast out, the blind man. And in chapter 10, he's going to have his sheep. He's going to lead them out. He's going to have a flock. And it tells us how he's going to get that flock and if he's cared for that flock. And so in the chapter, if I may give you a brief rundown, he is portrayed as the true shepherd, the good shepherd, the only shepherd, the obedient shepherd, the faithful shepherd. Now, I left a little work for you to do in our last lesson on John chapter 10, 1 to 6. And here we have our Lord revealed as the true shepherd in contrast to the false shepherds. I'll read these verses again. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Now the questions I raised was, what does it mean when it says there was someone who entered into the sheepfold some other way? Who is the shepherd? What is the sheepfold? Who is the porter? What is the door? And who are the sheep that he leads out? I left those questions with you in our last lesson. And allow me to say it very briefly. We all know that the Lord Jesus is the shepherd. As we read later on in the chapter, I am the shepherd, the good one. The false shepherds are those who would come into the people of Israel, into the fold, and they would scatter the sheep. These are false prophets who came among God's people. They didn't come the prescribed way. Now, what is the door into the sheepfold? Well, first of all, supposing we take the sheepfold. What is the sheepfold? Well, now you find over here in verse 16, other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. There shall be one fold, one shepherd, one flock, and one shepherd. Now, no question about in verse 16, he's talking about the Gentiles who have been brought to the Savior to be members of his flock. They don't belong to the fold of Israel. Other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Now, what is the fold in verse 1? Sheepfold is Israel. Now, just you wait a minute. Don't get excited. The sheepfold is Israel. You get a different picture when you pass verse 6. Remember, I said these first 6 is a parable. There are false shepherds trying to get into the sheepfold of Israel, and they came in to scatter the sheep. You find that in the prophets. You find it in Jeremiah speaks of it. Ezekiel speaks of it. Zechariah speaks of these false shepherds who came to scatter the people of God. Our Lord is the shepherd, and he came to the sheepfold of Israel. Who is the porter that opens the door? The porter is none other than John the Baptist, to introduce Jesus to Israel when he said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." This is the preferred one. John opened the door introducing Jesus to the people of Israel. You find this in Matthew 3 and Luke 3 and so on. Now, what is the door? He came the prescribed way. He came born of a virgin, Isaiah chapter 7:14 says, I'll give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, God with us. This is recorded in the book of Matthew chapter 1. Thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, God with us. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. He came to the people of Israel. He came as the shepherd of Israel, and they rejected him. You remember in the book of Matthew chapter 15, a Syrophoenician woman came to the Lord and said, Thou son of David, have mercy on me and heal my daughter. She's grievously vexed of a devil. And Jesus said, I can't take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. I am sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And you remember she said, Help me, Lord. And when he said, I can't take the children's bread and cast to the dogs, she said, Dog, I am. But the dogs have to have crumbs. They've got to be fed. And you remember the Lord Jesus said, Woman, go your way. Great is your faith. I haven't seen such faith, no, not in all Israel. Your daughter is already made whole. And in Romans chapter 15, our Lord came to confirm the promises made to the fathers. He came primarily, first of all, to Israel. You take in Matthew chapter 10, for example. He sent the disciples out two by two. And he said, Do not go to the Samaritans. Do not go to the Gentiles. You go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And when you come to chapter 12 of John, you remember certain Gentiles wanted to see Jesus, and they came to Philip and Andrew, and they came to the Lord, and the Lord Jesus said, Now is mine hour come. The Gentiles have no part in him until he comes to the cross. So the first six verses you have here, our Lord came the prescribed way, that's the door. If you want to follow that through, I would suggest Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. I would suggest Micah chapter 5, verse 2. Micah chapter 5, verse 2. Blessed thou art thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah. Out of thee shall come forth a governor, whose goings forth have been from eternity of old. And when you come to Matthew chapter 2, you remember when King Herod asked the Jews where Messiah should be born, they knew where he should be born. They said he's to be born in Bethlehem of Judea, fulfilling Micah chapter 5. Our Lord came the right way. He came in the right family. He came through the right door. He was born in the right place. And the porter was John the Baptist introducing Jesus. You remember, if I may quote from John again, first chapter, Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. In verse 34 he said, And I, John, saw and bear record, this is the Son of God. Officially, he introduces Jesus Christ to Israel. And as I say, the sheepfold is Israel. I just trust you, I made myself clear to you in this. Now let me go on. In verse 3, The sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out of the sheepfold, out of Israel. Chapter 9, here's a man being cast out of Israel, cast out of the temple. And Jesus met him. He met one of his sheep, and the man worshipped Jesus. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them. The sheep follow him, for they know his voice. I tell you, to me, it's a wonderful thing. The Lord knows us individually. He knows his sheep, and he calls them by name. He knows my name, too. Do you know that? He knows your name. He calls them by name. They belong to him. Do you belong to his flock? Do you belong to him? Is he your real shepherd? Friend, you will never experience Psalm 23, where he is the great shepherd of the sheep, until you accept him as the one who died for you, the one who is the real shepherd. You know, it is said, and I'm just quoting this, it is said that a man who is not the shepherd of the sheep can put on the shepherd's garment and make the same the same call that the shepherd gives. And the sheep never even lift up their heads to listen. But he can go and hide himself behind a rock where he can't be seen and give his call, and immediately every ear goes out that belongs to him. And the sheep hear his voice and they follow him. You see, friend, the false philosophies and doctrines of men never reach the sheep of God. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and so on. And there is a call to which the sheep will respond. Listen to it again. The sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out. You know, for some reason, I kind of like that fact that he knows us by name. Somebody one time said to Campbell Morgan, G. Campbell Morgan, the great British preacher, doesn't it say someplace in the Bible that he counts the hairs of your head? And Dr. Morgan says, no, it doesn't say that. It says he numbers the hairs of your head. They're numbered. I like to know he knows me by name. I'm just not one of millions of his sheep. I'm a particular sheep. You are a particular sheep. He knows you by name. The shepherds of Israel, when they had their sheep, these shepherds who went on the hills of Judea with their flocks of sheep, they knew every sheep by name. Isn't it wonderful that the Lord can call you by name? In other words, you are a special object to him. You know, I was teaching the book of Romans the other day to a class. I came to that seventh verse of the first chapter where it says, where Paul says, we are the beloved of God called saints. And I couldn't help but revel in that fact. We are the beloved of God. The Lord just looks upon you and you are his beloved. Not one of a crowd, an individual, special individual to God. Oh, but you say, Mr. Mitchell, I'm one of the weakest of his people. That may be true. I'm not going to argue that point. In fact, the weaker you are, the more beloved you are of the Lord. Do you ever think of it? You are the special object of his love, of his affection, and of his devotion. And he calls you by name. He calls you by name. Am I talking to you, discouraged, disheartened Christian? Will you remember that you are the special object of the love and the grace and affection of the Lord? He loved you enough to die for you. And now he pleads your cause before the throne of God. Friend, you have a Savior who never leaves you, a Savior who always loves you, a Savior who gives his life for you. That's how much he loves you. Oh, that we Christians might really fall in love with the Savior. As I was saying to some friends the other day, the marvelous thing is not that we love the Savior. The marvelous thing is that he loves you and he loves me. And he calls you by name. And he leads you out. And when he puts forth his own sheep, he goes before them. He knows the path. He knows where the rough spots are. He knows where the enemy is. And he leads you out, and the sheep follow him in simple trust. Ah, how they trust the shepherd. Even though they can't see where they're going, he leads them in the paths of righteousness. Even though they go through the valley of the shadow of death, where it's dark, they have no fear. Why? He leads them out. He's the one who leads them through the valley. He's the one who takes care of them. He's the one who loves them with an everlasting love. He's the one who never leaves them. Oh, wonder, what a Savior we have. What a Savior we have. So I read it here. Let us get to the next one. He not only is the true shepherd, he's the good shepherd. He's the good shepherd. And by the way, do you know his voice? Are your ears trained to him? Do you hear his voice in the midst of all the chaos and the confusion in the world? Do you hear his voice? You'll find it as you read the Word of God. Now, verses 7 to 11, he is the good shepherd. And here I find what he's doing now. The good shepherd. Verse 7. Then said Jesus unto them, now mark the change. Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. "All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers." But the sheep did not hear them. "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, shall go in and out, and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come, that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd, the shepherd, the good one. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." Now, this is what God is doing today. "I am the door of the sheep. By me, all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers." The sheep did not hear them. "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, shall go in and out, and find pasture." Now, what is God doing now? He's gathering out a flock. "I am the door of the sheep. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, shall go in and out, and find pasture. I am come that they might have life, they might have it more abundantly." Why? Because I am the good shepherd, and the shepherd, the good one, giveth his life for the sheep. What is God doing now? He's gathering out a people for his name. In Acts chapter 15, verse 14, Simeon hath declared how God at the first did gather out a people for his name. After this, he's going to return and build again the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. He's going to restore Israel. Between the resurrection of Christ and the coming of the Lord, he's doing one job. He's gathering out a people called the church. "I am the door of the sheep. Everyone who came before me are thieves and robbers. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." What's his purpose? He's gathering out a people. He's building a flock. And his program, how he's going to gather them in. And he's going to give us the basis how he will gather them in. Now mark the change again. "I am the door of the sheep." There's no other way. Verse 9. "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, shall go in and out, and find pasture." What's he doing? Saving people, liberating people, sustaining people. Notice it, verse 9. "I am the door, the only door. Every other thing is false, thieves and robbers. But I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." I say very bluntly, dogmatically, Jesus Christ is the only Savior. He's the only way to God. You remember in John chapter 14, verse 6, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, Peter said, "There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's no other door, there's no other way, there's no other name." I want this to be very clear, friend. Jesus said, "I am the door. Every other person is false. I am the only shepherd. I am the true shepherd. And now I am the good shepherd." What's he doing? Look at that verse 9. "If you come, if any man enter in this door, if you come to Christ, he's the way, you'll be saved. And you shall go in and out." That's liberation. "And you'll find pasture, sustenance." And when a person comes to the Savior, he not only saves from sin, but he liberates you from the power of sin. He sets you free, and he sustains you. I tell you, if you trust Jesus Christ as your shepherd, there's an abundant pasture. You know, he'll take care of you. I'm reminded of that chapter in the book of Ruth, where Naomi said to Ruth, don't you leave his field. Don't you go into any other field. You remember that? Don't you go into any other field. You stay by his field. Field of Boaz. Too many Christians are are feeding in other fields. And I'm going to be very blunt and say this. Friend, Jesus Christ can satisfy you in every department of your life. Why don't you trust him? Why don't you put your trust in the Savior? I'm talking to you Christians. You say, well, I do trust him. Do you trust him for every day? It's a strange thing. We Christians will trust the Lord for eternity, but we won't trust him for the next 24 hours. It says here, Jesus says, I am the door. If any man enter in, he shall be saved. He shall go in and out and find pasture. You go in and out of the old into the new. He'll feed you. All you need, he'll feed you. Don't go into another man's pasture. There are too many Christians trying to feed in the pastures that men have. Burned over pastures, if you please. The Lord's pastures are always green. They will always satisfy you. Don't feed in somebody else's pasture. Take the word of God and stay in his pasture. That's what he says in verse 9. I am the door. If any man, and that means you, my friend, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, shall go in and out, and find pasture. And I plead with your heart to turn to the Savior, and I accept him. He's a wonderful Savior. He's an all-sufficient Savior. He's a true Savior. He's the only Savior. Let me quote it again. I am the door, said Jesus. If any man enter in, I don't care who he is, he shall be saved, shall go in and out, and find pasture. May God grant you'll enter in and be saved and find the satisfaction that you have in the Savior.